Today she is Masechta Baba Kama, Daf Ches. We will begin on Daf Zayin on the base. Five lines from the bottom. Eisvei. We've been discussing the Machlokes of Rabbi Shmuel and Akiva, that when the Torah teaches us, the Mishnah teaches us, that the halacha is that if somebody does damage, you have to pay for Meitav, you have to pay for the Idjus. Shmuel's opinion was, but the Nizik Sheminin, we always evaluate, we assess according to what is the Idjus of the Nizik. But Rabbi Akiva's opinion was that we evaluate according to what was the Idjus of the Mazik. And therefore we had a question, when that's indeed the halacha, that we evaluate with the Mazik, the Gemara's question was, B'shloi hein shamim? Do they evaluate it according to what is the Mazik's best property? Or do we evaluate it according to what is the Nizik's best property? Ask the Gemara. So the Gemara said that we evaluated the last words that the Gemara had, we had in our previous year. The Rabbi Abba taught us that we evaluated according to what is the Idjus of the Mazik. Ask the Gemara, Eisvei. The Braisa says that somebody has three obligations. He has to pay a nizik, he has to pay a bachoyv, and he has to pay a ksubase isha. So the Mishnah says, and eloi ela ijis, if this person that has all of these obligations only owns property that are ijis, so then kulam government ijis. They all collect from the ijis. And as the Miri explains, what is this Braisa teaching us? This Braisa is teaching us that the person who has to pay cannot and should not say, well, give me an opportunity to buy Benis and Zaburius. It's what he has is what he pays. Benis, if he only owns Benis, then he pays Kulan government Benis. Then he pays from the Benis. And here, explains the Meiri, the Chiddush is, that he can't, that the Nizik can't say, well, since I'm really entitled to Idyas, so I should have at least the right to choose which Beinus I'm going to get first. That is not the halacha. Furthermore, Zaburius, if he only owns Zaburius, then the halacha is Kulan Goyven Zaburius. They all collect Zaburius. And here too, the Chiddush is that he doesn't have to go buy Idjus or Beinus, nor does anybody have first claims on which Zaburius property he should receive. What's the halacha if Hayoloi Idjus Beinus Zaburius? He has all different three different types of properties. So then the halacha is that the Nezikin collect from Idjus, the Baal Choyv collects from the Beinus, and the Ksubas Isha collects from the Zaburius. Idjus and Beinus, if the only two types of properties that he has are Idjus and Beinus, the halacha is the Zoykin collect the Idjus, or Baal Choyv Uksubas Isha collect from the Beinus. If he only owns Beinus and Zaburius, then the halacha is the Nezikin and the Baal Choyv collect from the Beinus, and the Ksubas Isha collects, from the Zaburius. If he only has Idjus and Zaburius, so says the Braisa, the Nezikin collect from the Idjus, or the Baal Choyv and the Ksubas Isha collect from the Zaburius. But now the Gemara makes its point. Ketanamiya Mitzia. What was the middle case that we collect from? First of all, why does the Ksubas Isha in this case collect from Zaburius? So the Rishonim explain, the Baal Choyv collect from the Zaburius, because the Rishonim explain. The really the halacha is that a Baal Choyv always should, as we're going to learn in our shir, should always be only allowed to collect from Zaburius. Just the Rabbanon instituted a special rule, Kadesh Leitinel Dalas Bafnei Lovin. We want people to be encouraged to lend money. And if getting paid back is going to cause that you should only get inferior property, nobody's going to ever want to lend money. But that's under normal circumstances. But in this case, where this person only owns Idjus and Zaburius, we revert back to the din of the Raisa that a Baal Choyv collects from the Zivurius. Makes the Gemara's point. Ketani miyemitzah. What was the middle case that we learned? The middle case that we learned was that when this person only had Beinonis and Zivurius, the Zikin about Chayiv, the Zikin about Chayiv collect from the Beinonis, and the Ksubas Isha corrects from the Zivurius. Says the Gemara, Amrit, if we're going to say, as Rabbi Abba told us at the end of our previous shiur, that the way we make this assessment is B'Shalayin Shaman, we always make the assessment according to what he has. So if he only has Beinonis and Zivurius, so the Beinonis, maybe Beinonis, if we look at it from the way the world will look at it, the entire world may only grade this perhaps as Beinonis, but for him, it's the best property that he owns. So that should make it into Idyas. If we're evaluating it according to what he owns, so for him, it's Idyas. And Yidacha, and therefore, if that would be the case, as we just finished explaining, when he only owns Idyas and Zivurius, then the halach is that the Baal Chayv goes to the Zivurius for the reason we just explained. What does the Braisa say that the Baal Chayv gets from the Beinonis? It must be, assumes the Gemara, that we make these assessments. We don't make the assessment based on what he does or doesn't have. We make the assessment of what is graded. In the world, this is Beinonis. In the world, this is Idyas. In the world, this is Zivurius. And since this is Beinonis, as far as the entire world is concerned, that's why the Baal Chayiv is entitled to get it. So isn't this clearly a raya that we, when we make the evaluation, the halacha is we go according to what is, we go according to what the world makes the grading, not what the world grades it, not what this person's properties are. So the Chiddush Yerim asked the obvious question. The Gemara in our previous year of Abba said that how do we know that we make the determination according to what the Mazik owns? Because the Torah says, Mate of Sadeu, Mate of Karmoy. And the Gemara explained, we follow the Mate of Sadeu, the Mate of Karmoy of the Mazik. So as the Chiddush Yerim, maybe that's only a halacha by Nezikin. By Nezikin, there's a halacha that we follow, we make the assessment according to what the Mazik has. But maybe we're Bachoy, which we're discussing now, then we make the determination according to the way the world makes the determination. So the simple pshat is that, and the way the Chaznish expands on the simple pshat, is that it's difficult to assume that the halachas by Nezikin will be one way, and by Bachoy it will be a different way. That by Nezikin will go according to what he has, and the Baal Chayiv will go according to what the world has. And as I saw, the Chaznish explains. The Chaznish explains that we know that there's a rule that Koma the Tukar Rabbanan came the Raisa Tikkun. Whenever the Rabbanan follow a rule, whenever they institute a rule, they always institute it based on what the Torah does. So if we see that the Torah by Nezikin says we go according to what's his, it doesn't make sense, says the Chazanish, to say, well, when it comes to Baal Chayiv, we won't go according to what he owns. When it comes to Baal Chayiv, we'll look at what the world, what according to what the world considers this. So Chazanish, that doesn't make sense, answers the Gemara. Here, the Braisa is speaking about a very unique situation. Hakam Maiskinen, Kigayin Shahoslo Idjis. At the time of the loan, he did have Idyas. And therefore, at that time, he became obligated to pay the Idyas. And Machra. And he sold the Idyas. And that's why he's left with Beinonis and Zivurius. So since he really had to give Idyas, what happened was, he sold it. At least the amount that the Baal Chayiv will be entitled to, at least the amount that he's going to be entitled to, that is to the Beinonis. The Kenam Rav Chisda, and so too Rav Chisda say, Kigon Shai saw Idyas and Machra, he sold it. Since at that point, the halacha is that he was really entitled to that, that's why the halacha is we at least will give him, we'll at least own given Beinonis. So in other words, the Gemara is saying that even though at the time of collection, this is his best land, but there was already a Sheba to give him this land, because this was the Beinonis at the time of the loan, and that's why he has to pay it. Why would be the halacha? So part of what the Gemara is considering is because this person went and sold this. And why did he go sell the Idyas that will make his Beinonis now into his Idyas? But let's say the reason it became now his Idyas is only because there was a flood. And the flood ruined his Idyas, and that hiked up that his previous Beinonis becomes now his Idyas. Says the Nesivus that since he didn't go and sell it, do something which is presumably wrong, it just happened by itself, then the halacha would be that indeed it would be like the case where he only has Beinonis and Zeburius, and the Bachoiv collects from the Zeburius. Dar Sameach disagrees with the Nesivus. And Dar Sameach says that since at the time of the loan, there was a Shibud, there was a lien on this Beinonis property, because at that time he had Idyas property, so the halacha is that even though something happened, and it was beyond his control that it happened, but still the halacha is he will be held responsible. Moreover, I saw that the Sefer Cheshuki Chemetz suggests that when you have such a situation that the Gemara is discussing, not only is the halacha, as we just learned, as the Gemara teaches us, but the Cheshuki Chemetz seems to suggest that the person who goes and sells the Idyas property, knowing that by selling the Idyas property, what he may be causing is, as we're discussing, by selling the Idyas property, he may be causing that this person will, the Baal Chayiv, will suffer a loss, suggests to the Chiddush HaChemed that it's wrong to do so. Unless there's pressing circumstances, don't sell such property which will cause that the wrong thing should happen. Says the Gemara Chidam Mestabra, says the Gemara that it makes sense to learn this way. Midik Tani Achriti says there's another Braisa. The Braisa says, Beinonis for Zeburius, if this person only has Beinonis Zeburius, the Loch is Nezikim for Beinonis, and the Baal Chayiv and the Ksubas Isha get Zeburius. Ask the Gemara, Kashan Hadadi, don't we have a contradiction? In our previous Braisa, we said that the Baal Chayiv gets Beinonis. In this Braisa, we say the Baal Chayiv gets Zeburius. Elav Shmamina. How can we reconcile these two Braises? The first Braisa is talking about what he had Idyas, and therefore there was a lien on the Beinonis, and therefore once that lien got created, then he's obligated to honor that lien. Can the second Braisa is the case Shlaisla Idyas Amachroi. He never had Idyas. Since he never had Idyas, so therefore the Beinonis that he does have becomes his Idyas. And since the Beinonis that he does have becomes his Idyas, as we learned before, when he only has such a situation, the Baal Chayiv will get from the Zeburius. Vim Ba'isema says the Gemara, it could be that the Braises actually don't agree with Rav Abba. And the Braises' opinion are that when we make this determination, we make the determination b'shel oylem. V'idi, both the Braises are not referring to a case. Shloi ha'shloi idus ha'machroi. They're not referring to a case where he had Idyas and he sold it. So how do we reconcile the two Braises? V'loi kasha. Hod d'shav beinin ha'shloi ka'indus da'alma. The second Brais is talking about his beininess is the equivalent of everybody else's. His beininess is the equivalent of everybody else's Idyas. And since a Baal Chayiv is only entitled to get Beinonis, he's not entitled to get Idyas, so he won't be able to collect this Beinonis. The Khan, the first Braisa, is the Loi Shavya Beinonis Shloik Idyas Alma. His Beinonis is really what everybody considers Beinonis. And since his Beinonis is what everybody considers Beinonis, and the determination of what is Beinonis, according to this interpretation, is we go according to what the world considers it. So if this is considered Beinonis, that's why the Baal Chayiv will get the Beinonis. Whereas if this is really Idyas in the world's eyes, if it's really Idyas in the world's eyes, then he should only get, then he will get, not that, because he's not entitled to Idyas as a Baal Chayiv. V'bayi Seima, another way of explaining the two brises. Kigon shoyes beninus shloik beninus d'alma. His beninus is equivalent to the beninus of the world. And what is the machloikus? That's exactly the machloikus. The two brises actually represent a machloikus about the subject that we are discussing. Masov, the second brisa, says b'shaloi hishamin. We look at what is his situation, and since this is his best property, so the beninus gets kicked up to being an idyus, and the balchoy is not entitled to take it. Or masov, whereas the first brisa is of the opinion that b'shaloi l'mishamin, we make the evaluation according to what is beninus or idyus, and it truly is according to the world standards beninus. And since according to the world standards, it's beninus, that's why he's entitled to it. Says the Gemara, Ravina says that the brises could be, both brises don't, we don't have to say, says Ravina, that the machloikus of the, that the, there's a machloikus of the brises about this question, or b'shaloyel shamim, do we go according to what he owns, or b'shaloyel mehuim shamim, according to what the world considers beninus edges. Rather, the machloikus between these two brises, but the ula pligi. They're arguing over halacha that ula said. Dama ula. Dvalch toira, mid the rice about chayv is zaburius. About chayv really is entitled to get zaburius. Says the Gemara. How do we know that? Shunemar, the pasuk speaks about when somebody's collecting a debt. And the pasuk says, the chutz tamid, the malva should stand outside the home of the loiva. Ve'ish ashat ha'noishaba, and the person who you claim money from, Yoitze Alecha Esavra Chutza, will bring out the Malva. So the Malva will bring out whatever he chooses to take. The Malva should take out whatever he chooses. Ma Dakashal Adam, Loitzil Chutz. So if I have a right to choose whatever I want, I can maybe, what will I normally take out? Hapakashab Kalim. I'll take out the least valuable. And that's why the Torah says he should get Zaburius. Matam Balchoy Bebeninus. So why did Chazal institute that he should get Beninus? Kaloshitin al Dals Bifnei Lovin. We want to encourage people to collect, to lend money. So Ma Isle Tekanta Dula. And therefore, we give him Beninus. If he only has Beninus and Zaburius, we want to encourage people to lend money. So give him the Beninus. Or Ma Lesle Tekanta Ula. And give him Zaburius. So I saw the Rishonim ask that if we're so interested that people should lend money, and because we're so interested, like Ten Adels Bifnei Lovin, we kicked it up that even though he should be entitled to Zaburius, he collects Beninus, why don't we say that he should get Idyus? It was so anxious to encourage people to lend money. So I saw a beautiful pshat that sometimes a malva, somebody who's lending money, knows that the loiva is having a hard time. And the fact is that he's borrowing money is very much a proof that he's going through a difficult time. Since the malva knows the loiva is going through a difficult time, so the malva is going to say to himself, you know, this loiva has this great piece of property that I would love to get my hands on. So what's he going to do? He's going to go and say, nice, I'm going to lend you money. Assuming that this person will not have the ability to pay back. And once he doesn't have the ability to pay back, that will be the way that he could get his hands on this property. So that's a very ulterior motive. So to avoid that consideration, Chazal sort of made a compromise. We don't let him collect Idyus. We don't let him collect Zaburius. He gets Beninus. Tan Rabbanan. Says the Gemara, we learn in a Braisa. Macha lechad. If somebody had many different properties, Idyus, Beninus, and Zaburius, a macha lechad, and he sold all of these properties to one individual. Or, l'shlosh bnei adam, he sold them to three different individuals. Kechad, all at the same time. Kulan, so these three people, says the Gemara, says the Braisa actually, nichnasu tachas ba'alim, fit the place of the Balaam. And therefore, each one of them, each one of the people who are owed money, will go to the person that he's allowed to go. And then the person who got damaged will go to the Nizigis, the Balchoy will go to the Beninus, and the Ksubus Isha will go to Zipurius. And even though the Rishonim have a discussion, that when is there a halacha that you could go after somebody who bought property, that I owe money, and you could go after somebody who I sold the property to, that's only by Milva B'Shtar. Now the question is that if I owe money not through a shtar, is that considered like it is a shtar? So the easiest way to learn the Gemara is that our Gemara is that following the opinion that Milva HaKsuv B'Torah, obligation that the Torah makes is K'ksuv B'Shtar, is considered like it was in a shtar. That's the easiest way of learning. But I saw Tosfos learns that even though the milva kosu b'Torah, just because the Torah obligates me to pay something, it's not considered k'ksuv b'shtar. It's not automatically considered as if it's a regular shtar. But after Bezdin paskind that he owes the money, then everybody agrees it's a milva k'ksuv b'shtar. A similar teretz I saw that the Rashba suggests, that if there was a kol, everybody knows that there was this accident, and the mazik owes the money, then even if you'll normally hold the milva k'suv b'toira is lav k'suv b'shtar, that it's not as if that it's written in the shtar, here it's considered as if it's written b'shtar because everybody knows the money is owed. However, says the Gemara, if the person who owes the money, for the various reasons we've been learning why somebody could owe money, didn't sell the properties all at the same time, but rather sold the bezach hazeh. He sold the properties one after the other. The halacha is kulan goyvim menachron. They all collect from the last one. Because the halacha is that a person buys a property, he's thinking, is there a lien on the property? And what is part of his consideration? Well, the person who I'm buying property from has other properties to pay off his obligations. So only the last one, when he bought it, recognized that the seller has no more properties. By recognizing that the seller has no properties, he took the most responsibility. If the last buyer doesn't have enough property to pay off all the obligation, then Goyim Milfana, we go to the one before him. And if that one doesn't have enough property, Eloi, if he doesn't have enough, Goyvul Feifanov, then we go to the one before him. So now the Gemara begins to analyze the Braisa. The Braisa said, Machon Lechad, if all the properties were sold to one individual. So ask the Gemara Hechidom exactly what did the Braisa mean? Ilema Bebas Achas, that they were all sold to one individual all at the same time. And it was the person who owed all these obligations, sold all his properties at one time to one person. Ask the Gemara, why was it needed to be say that? Hashta l'shloisha, when it was sold to three different individuals, diklamei mechad menayim kodem, there's always the possibility that we could say that one came before the other. And of course, the Rishonim ask, how would it be possible to know that one transaction came before the other? So some Rishonim say that there were places that not only did they put the date of a transaction in the shtar, but they actually put the time of the transaction. That's how some Rishonim learn. Other Rishonim learn that there are Eidim that could tell us which transaction took place first and which took place second. Amrit, or which took place third. Still the Gemara saying, Amrit kulam nechnosim tachsabalim, all of them take over the obligation, since they all happen on the same day, they all take over those obligations of the seller. So certainly, machon l'echad, if they were all sold to one person, ella pshita must be b'zechazeh, that these transactions happen consecutively. So now ask the Gemara, we just learned, that it was sold to three people, one after the other. The halacha is that we go to the last one. Here we're saying we all go to the people at the same time. Maishna shloish the kolchech ve'achad. That when he sold it to three different individuals, the first person sends him to the second person, and the second person sends him to the third person. Based on what? Based on what we said. The kochad v'chad omalei hinachti l'chamokim ligvus v'menu. When I bought property, I deliberately did not buy all of the property of this individual because I knew he had obligations. And therefore he says, hinachti l'chamokim ligvus v'menu. Hainami, so here, when he sold the three properties, not at the same time, why can't we say, a kol chad v'chad, on each property, he should say, hinachti l'chamokim ligvus v'menu. I deliberately did not buy them at the same time that you should have to go to the last property first. Answers the Gemara, actually, hachem ma'iskinon, shalokach idus b'chroina. So what are we saying? That when the properties weren't all sold at the same time, you always go after the last property. It says the Gemara, indeed, that's what happened. You know which is the last property? The Idjus. It says the Gemara, ken amar of sheishis. The case we are referring to here is kigon shalokach idus b'chroina. Says the Gemara, so if that's the case, and that was the last property sold, and we keep on learning that we always go to the last property, ihochi, then the halacha ought to be leisa kula v'ligna meidus. They should be able to go collect from the edges. Says the Gemara, v'kut mishum d'amalu, because the person who bought these properties says to them, ishtik v'kshilchu k'denaychu, if each one of you will take, the balchoy will take the beininus, the isha will take the zaburius, the nezikin will take edges. Shekul so fantastic. Viloy, and if you're not going to accept this, I'm going to retract on the deal that I bought the Zaburius. So that means that the person who really owns the money, who really owes the money, now has Zaburius, and you're all going to get Zaburius. So your best bet is just to accept the way I'm saying. It's the Gemara. Ask me, Hocha, that if that is in the case, so why is this if this is an acceptable approach, asked the Gemara, then by Nizik, we could also say that. And that say to the Nizik, take what I give you, because if you don't take what I give you, you'll end up by me giving back the Zaburius to the person who owed you money, and you'll only be able to collect Zaburius. We're going to have to explain that the Bryce is speaking about Yesoimim. The person who sold off the assets passed away. Now the ones that are left over, Yisoimim, the Lab B'nei Peroininu, that they're people that don't have to sell off, they don't have to pay the father's debts. Because the halacha is, you only have to pay off your father's debt if he left you property. Here, he had not left over property, and therefore, since he had not left over property, they would give back to Yisoimim. The Shmuda Alei the Day Ramyim. So in this case, he doesn't have the ability to say, well, I'm going to give it back and we'll undo the deal. The deal can't be undealed because the Yisoimim are not going to buy back property that they know they're going to have to give back. Hilkach, leklamei malchi. So therefore, he can't say, well, I'm going to undo the deal and give back the Zaburius and he'll give you, and now the person who really owes you the money will give you the Zaburius. The Yisoimim won't go for this, says the Gemara. Ella Mishum the Amalhu, Tamamai Rabbanan. So then why did Rabbanan say they ain't from the Chos Mishbadam Mak Mishesh Bnei Chayrim? That if I owe money, then the person always goes after me, no matter what type of property I have. And they don't go after the person to whom I sold the property. Mishum Kanta the D. It's for my benefit. Says the Mara, I who bought the Idjus at the end, says, Bahata Kanta Loi Nichali. I'm not interested in this. I'm not interested in this takana, and therefore I want to be able to distribute as I want. Says the Gemara, how do we know that somebody can make such a statement, that even though Chazal made a rule, he could say, I don't want to follow the rule? Kidarova. Damarova, Kolaime, Yev, Shibit, Takanas Chachamim. Anybody who says, I don't want a Takanas Chachamim, Kigoin, Zu, and the Gemara is going to explain right away what it's meant, Shemeloi. We listen to what he says. Ask them what is meant, Kigoin, Zu. Kidrav Huna, the Amar of Huna, the Chol Ishish Taima Labala, and in the Zionist Sein Eisa. Chazal, as we learned in Masechta Ksubis, taught us that a woman is entitled to be supported by her husband. But in exchange, a woman has to turn over her earnings to her husband. If a woman, let's say, has a great job, and she says, instead of me giving you my earning, I'm not giving you my earning. I'm going to keep my earnings and you don't have to support me. Then the halacha is, the halacha is that the person can make that claim. And the woman can make that claim. And here too, the person who bought, indeed the halacha really should be that the last field he bought should have that lien on it. But he says, Chazal made that lien for my benefit. I'm not interested in that benefit. Our Gemara is teaching us. So now, after we finish learning this piece of Gemara, if this person bought three different pieces of property, even though according to the way we're learning our shiur, the people who are owed money should be able to go to the last property he bought first, because he could say, I'm not interested. And the Gemara even said, if the person who sold the property was alive, he could say, well, I could undo the entire deal. Then the halacha is that he could say that I'll give the Baal Chayiv Beidinus, Nezikin Idyus, Ksubasisha Zaburius. So the Shas Tshuvas Noida Behuda, Madura Tinyana Erechaim Simon Ches, discusses the world where in Shul, when people had Kadesh, it said Kaddish, it wasn't that all the people who said Kaddish said it together. Rather, every person got Kaddishim. And let's say one person is saying Kaddish for two different people. Is he entitled to two shares? Or is he only entitled to one share? He says that the person, what would be, he said, if there were three people? Then, he discusses a case where the two people saying Kaddish, and one wants to get two-thirds of the Kaddishim. He says, if there were three people, and each one was saying a Kaddish for a different nifter, then the halacha is, certainly we were divided equally. He could say, so he says, that if I am saying Kaddish for two different people, so I'm going to say, as the Gemara just suggested a person could say, I'm backing out, and I'm not saying Kaddish for one of the two people I'm saying. And therefore, if that person now comes, his relatives are going to have to say Kaddish. And therefore, since his relatives are going to have to say Kaddish, so then you're only going to get one third anyway. And therefore, by me not backing, so since I always have the ability to say so, therefore you have to accept what I say, even when I didn't say so. Of course, many Achronim disagree with the Noida Behuda. For they say, because who says that if I back out from saying Kaddish for that individual, whose relative who's not going to say Kaddish is going to come to the shul? Maybe he's going to go to a different shul. The pasuk says, "The kol isha chachmas lei biyadeh tavu," that everybody, every woman who was wise, were the women that wove the mishkan. So many mefarshim ask, why was it require chachma slave? So the answer is, says the Paradis Yosef, that kol mashikon tzitzikon abala. So really, whatever they earned should be given to the husbands. But what did they do? They learned the Al Gemara. Like the Gemara just taught us that a wife always has the right to back out. Since the wife has a right to back out, that's what they did. They backed out. And therefore, their husbands were not entitled to what they earned. And that's how they were able to donate it to the Beis HaMikdash. The Pnei Menachem says that why was this doable? Because he says that in the Midbar, they had mon. And since they had mon in the Midbar, then for nobody really needed to rely on the husbands for panosah, because everybody got their own share of mon. Since everybody got their own share of mon, therefore they could all say, and they knew to say, we don't need your earning, we don't need you to support us, and we therefore could want to turn over our earnings and our work to the Mishkan. Says the Gemara, Pshita. Says the Gemara, a person who bought all of the properties of the person who has obligations. And as we just finished discussing, the last property he bought was the Idyus. And then, Machar L'Keich Beinus V'Zaburius. And then, in other words, the person who had these obligations, as we've been learning, had Idyas Beinus is a Burius. He sold all of those properties to one individual. And then the person who bought those properties sold off the Beninus and Saburius, was left with Idyas, the Shai Idyas Lefonov. So then, since he's the first Lokayach, the Laisa Kulav Ligbim Idyas, everybody collects from the Idyas. Dachroinahi, when he bought this, the Idyas was bought left. Since the Idyas was bought last, that's where all of the obligation falls. Beninus less. And furthermore, says the Gemara, Beinus for Zaburius less Nagabe. He doesn't have the Beinus and Zaburius that we wanna, that he should be able to say regarding them, as the Gemara just taught us. The Matzla Memluhu, that he should be able to say regarding them, government Beinus and Zaburius. I'm not interested in the Nichli with the Kanta the Rabbanon. Because when could he say that if he had the Beinus and Zaburius? But here he doesn't have the Beinus and Zaburius. So he doesn't have the option to say that. But what would be an halacha in the other way? Says the Gemara, Ava Mocha Idyas, he sold off the Idyas, Vishai Beninus Idyas, and he left with himself the Beninus and Idyas, and that's where the people who owed money come now. Sava Bailamema, Asakula, Govim Idyas, they could all collect from the Idyas, because that's where the lien fell on. Amalei Rava, says Rava Tabaya, how could you say that the first buyer will push them to the second buyer, and they're going to all collect the idyas from the second buyer? Isn't there a primary obligation on the first buyer? Man macharishin l'sheni kos chush shetav liyadai. The first buyer sells to the second buyer every right that he has. The kivan the ilu also gabel loykech rishen. If they came to the first buyer matza agbelahu, they could collect from the Beinus and Zaburius. Afa pi dezabni Beinus Zaburius, akati bnei, I just bnei chayr nava, shein efraim lechosr shmadim, called a zikin bnei chayr. So if he only bought the Beinus and Zaburius from the person who had the obligation, then the halach is, then the first person would have to pay off all of his obligations from the idyas. Matzam leloi nichli b'hayta kara. I'm not interested in the rule the Chazad made that they should collect from the Beinus and Zaburius. And he collects from the Idyas. Matzi Amalu, second, Lekeshem, nine Matzalim, Gavi Benez Zapurius. You should be able to go and only collect from the first buyer. The Chizav and Lekeshemi, because when I bought property from the first buyer, I was careful not to buy all the property that he has, because I tatted the cause of Chustav Lelisha because of it. I wanted to buy it in that circumstance. Says the Gemara. Amarava, Ruvain. Shemacha kol sodayis l'Shimon. Ravan sold all of his property to Shimon. V'holach Shimon u'macha sod achas l'Levi. Shimon went and sold one property to Levi. Bo b'achoyv d'roiva. And Ruvain's b'achoyv comes. He sold a Beninus to Levi. That means Ruvain had Idyas, Beninus, and Zaburius. And he sold. And Shimon owes. Ruvain borrowed money. And Shimon owes Idyas, Beninus, Zaburius. And now Shimon goes and sells the Beninus to Levi. Not about Chayv de Ruvain, that means Ruvain comes. Rots mezegayva, rots mezegayva. Says the Gemara, v'loy amaron el dezovim Beninus, because there was a lien on the Beninus. Avul zovim idus zaburius loy, he can't collect from him. Damalei lahochi daiki v'zivni, the buyer could say, I deliberately bought idus zaburius. And not Beninus, because the Beninus goes to you. But Philim Zovim Beninus, Loi Nami Loi Amorin, that he can't collect, that he could go to the buyer. El Deloi Shire, Beninus the Kavasei, that he didn't leave Beninus by the original person who owed money. Deloi Atsu Amalei, that he can't say, Hinachta Lachamokim Lagabi Shimon, I left from you where to collect from. Avil Shire Beninus the Gabi Shimon, if he left Beninus by Shimon, Loi Govimine, then the Baal Chayv cannot collect from him, even though he has Beninus from the person who had the obligation. The Matz Amalei, he could always say, Hanachti l'chamokim, I left you from where to collect, Ligvus menum. Says the Mar Amar by Ruven Shemach Simla Shemachrayus. Shimon, Ruven sold the property to Shimon Bachrayus, that if somebody will come, Ruven sold the property to Shimon, and he told Shimon, if somebody will take away that property if one of the people I owe money to will take that property away from you, you have recourse back to me. And now, indeed, the person who Reuven owed money to collects from Shimon. That means when this person is coming to collect the property from Shimon, Reuven has a right to be part of that din Torah. And the person that's owed the money can't say, well, I'm not coming to collect from you, because of course he is Baal Devarim Didi. You know why? Because the Amalei, at Mafkas Menei, when you will take this property away, since the property was sold by Chrayas, where is he coming back to? Olai Hadab. Now says the Gemara, a bigger Chiddush. Vikadamri, afil shloi b'chrayis. Let's say the property was sold shloi b'chrayis. What is meant when a property was sold shloi b'chrayis? It means that you don't have recourse to the person who sold it to you. Even in that case, the halacha is amalei. So now the person who's collecting from the buyer says to the original seller, why are you participating here? You're not, you have nothing to lose here. I don't want to have that, even though Shimon has no recourse, but Shimon's going to be upset that I sold him property that at the end of the day he's going to lose, and say, you sold me something that I was going to lose. I don't want him to feel that way. And because I don't want him to feel that way, then the halacha is that you can't, he could still be involved in the entire, even though he doesn't have a financial stake here. So many Rishonim asked the question on the previous case that there's a concept of Taninin Lilakeach. We always, when there's a buyer, as in our Gemara, we always do what we can to help him win the Dentira. So what's the difference if he shows up or he doesn't show up? The Bezin's going to make the claims from him. So he says, so Rashi explains that the case here is that he could always say that this piece of property, there's already a lien on. And therefore, since he could claim there was a lien on this property, the whole sale wasn't a valid, there were reasons that the sale isn't a valid sale, which is something that Bezdin wouldn't know. Another point that Rashi makes is that the person who owes the money can always make the other person swear that I didn't pay you. Bezdin doesn't do so. A similar terrorist, the Rishonim say that he could claim that the loan document that you're presenting is false, is a forgery. Another pshat is that that he wants to go to the Beis Din HaGadol, and this person says, well, I can't travel to Yerushalayim. So if he's not a party, so then what's the difference that you can't come? But if he becomes a party, then he could force him. Another pshat that Rishonim suggests that sometimes Beis Din will force a shvuah. But Beis Din will only force a shvua to the person who lent the money. Here, if it's not the person who rent the money, then they can't force a shvua the Raisa. Another pshat that the Rishonim say, and this we have, some litigants are sharper and smarter than other litigants. And therefore, this person would rather go to the Torah with the second person who isn't as sharp as the first person. And therefore, since he has a right to say in both versions of the Gemara that he is a party to distant Tyra, he can't be said, well, you're not a party to distant Tyra. Which opens up an interesting question. Somebody had a car accident, and the person whose car was damaged is not going after the person who made the accident. He's going after the insurance company. And we're talking about a case where the insurance will not go up because of this accident. So could this person, this victim, say, why are you showing up to this dentira? My dentira is not with you. My dentira is with the person who is with the insurance company. So one pshat I saw is that the din taira is always with the person who made the accident. The fact that there's an insurance company, that person who made the accident is always a party to the din taira, whether he's going to have to pay or not. Another pshat that I saw is that even if payment is coming from the insurance company, how do we understand, says the Chashuki Chemed, payment that if somebody got into an accident, the insurance company is paying on your behalf? It's not to be understood, says the Chashuki Chemed, as if I don't have to pay. When I pay for insurance, I'm paying that whatever I will have to pay, the insurance company will pick up and pay on my behalf. Since the way to look at it is not that I'm paying, it's that I'm not paying. I am paying. Just I made an arrangement that somebody else is going to pay on my behalf. But really, I'm paying, so you can't say, La bal dvarim de diat, and even though he's suing the insurance company, the person who got into the accident, who caused the accident, has every right to show up and be a party to the din Torah.